Rock Around the Flock, Part 2, by Douglas J. Ebach. In the town of Normal, Pennsylvania, there's a little church at the corner of Wilson and Elm. In an effort to attract more teens and young adults, Pastor Henry O'Donnell had recruited several congregants to form a church rock band. The hope was that modern music would appeal to a younger generation more than the usual dusty old hymns. Two of the recruits for this band, lead singer Audra Park and guitarist Ian Wells, were excellent musicians. The rest of the group consisted of 44-year-old Missy Moore on drums, Kevin Boyer attempting to relive his high school garage band days on the rhythm guitar, and church secretary Tammy Billings reluctantly rounding out the group on her upright bass. Most of the congregation was skeptical of the idea, particularly the choir who had been replaced by the rock band, and the three older women known collectively as the Little Old Ladies. But Pastor O'Donnell urged everyone to give the new music a chance. If it worked out, the pews would be filled with new, young members, he promised. The church already had two regular teen attendees, Pastor O'Donnell's 15-year-old daughter Katie and her friend Tabitha. They were simultaneously intrigued and skeptical about the rock band. But O'Donnell was pleased to see them in the front pew on the Sunday of the band's debut. It seemed an indication that his plan was working. The band's rehearsals had been a little rough around the edges. Missy was certainly an enthusiastic drummer, but her beat tended to wander around a bit. Kevin was gradually shaking the rust off his guitar skills, but frequently became so distracted by his attempts to strike just the right rock and roll pose that he missed changes. And Tammy's bass style was more Bach than rock. But Ian and Audra managed to hold the whole thing together most of the time. On the morning of their debut, Ian wasn't sure they were ready, but neither was he sure they could significantly improve by delaying. The band gathered in the choir room before service. Missy was the last to arrive, and she made quite an entrance when she did. She was decked out in a leather miniskirt, fishnet stockings, and a red bustier. Her pale flesh bulged out around the edges of the bustier in a way that Ian thought would probably upset the congregation a lot more than the change in musical style. As shocked as they were by Missy's appearance, she was equally shocked by their rather preppy attire. "We're supposed to be a rock band," she wailed. "You all look like you work in a department store."
"Or like we're going to church," Tammy replied.
"I thought the point was to make church more rock and roll," Missy countered. "Well, there's nothing any of us can do about what we're wearing now," Audra said, trying not to stare at Missy. "We're on." When the band entered the chancel 2 minutes before the start of service, the congregation immediately fell silent, except for Kitty and Tabitha in the front pew, who had to bury their faces in their arms to contain their laughter. Pastor O'Donnell stared at Missy and for the first time began to question the wisdom of his idea. The plan was for the band to open service with their first song. Everyone in the sanctuary leaned forward, including the choir members and the little old ladies. Even the most adamant opponents of rock music in church were still curious to see how the band would do. Missy tapped her drumsticks together to count out the beat, and they launched into their first number, an upbeat if rather generic piece of Christian light rock. Any hope Ian had that they would rise to the occasion was quickly dashed. Missy's adrenaline caused her to pick a tempo half again as fast as they'd practiced. Kevin had a hard time keeping up, so he compensated by playing louder. The congregation slumped back in their pews. Their curiosity had been satisfied, and now they were simply trying to get through the audio onslaught. The band would have been better off just trying to get through it themselves. But Kevin noticed a lack of enthusiasm coming from the pews and decided what they needed was more stage presence. He began channeling the guitar heroes of his youth and tromped across the stage, head flailing. The guitar heroes of his youth had probably practiced their stage moves, however, to assure that they wouldn't make the kind of blunder that Kevin made. As he danced backwards behind Ian during an instrumental portion of the song, he tripped on Ian's guitar cord, simultaneously unplugging it and sending Kevin tumbling onto his backside. Both guitars fell silent, leaving only Missy and Tammy to carry the song. Missy tried to save things by launching into a prolonged drum solo. A few members of the congregation began to wonder if Missy was having some kind of seizure. Even more congregants discovered an urgent need to visit the restroom and slipped out of the sanctuary. Pastor O'Donnell hung his head sadly. But through it all, Katie and Tabitha thrust their hands in the air and swayed in time to the music. Ian got his guitar plugged back in, Kevin regained his feet, and mercifully the song came to an end. However, Missy made a rather overly dramatic flourish as she struck the last cymbal chime and heard a ripping sound from the back of her bustier. As Katie and Tabitha clapped wildly and the rest of the congregation stared in stunned silence, Missy slipped off the drum stool and backed out through the rear chancel doors, her hands holding the bustier precariously in place. Missy returned in time for the next song wearing a choir robe, which pretty much everyone agreed was an improvement. The remainder of the band's songs in the service went comparatively better than the first, but only comparatively. After the service ended, Katie and Tabitha ran up to Pastor O'Donnell.
"That was awesome, Dad," Katie said.
"Yeah," Tabitha agreed. "Our friends will definitely come to church to see that." Then the two girls burst into laughter.
The following week marked the choir's triumphant return with a selection of dusty old hymns.